So we're on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, and we're up to the second of the wide lines. You'll see Tanya. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira haya Omer, Ein divrei Torah mekablim tuma, which means that a Balkeri is allowed to study Torah, because even though he's Tameh, he doesn't project his tumah onto Torah, because Torah doesn't receive tumah. And the Gemara is going to say later on that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira derives this from a pasuk, and the Gemara is going to have to explain what's called Takanas Ezra, because Takanas Ezra requires tefillah, and before that tefillah from Keri, Ezra said you're not allowed to study Torah. So we're going to see how to reconcile that Takanas Ezra with the statement here of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Now I just want to mention a Tosfos, which is not here in Masechta Brachos, but it's quoted here in the Masifta, in Bava Kama Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. He says, Eich Bitel Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Takanas Ezra. We have a principle that a Beis Din cannot be Mavatel that which is enacted by an earlier Beis Din, unless the later Beis Din is Gadol Mimenu B'Chachmu V'Minyan. And here Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira seems to be undermining the Takon of Ezra. How could he do so? What authority does he have? And Tosis gives a number of answers. One answer is that it's possible that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira holds that Ezra never made this Takana. He denies that it ever happened. Another answer of Tosis is that Ezra himself made a Tanai at the time of his Takana, that if any later Beis Din would come and be Mavatal the Takana, they would be able to do so. And a third answer is that this Takana of Ezra was not Nifshetes B'chol Yisrael. It wasn't accepted by all of Israel. That's the built-in system of checks and balances. Maisa B'talmud Echad Shayim Gam Game. Notice he was reading Divrei Torah. L'mala Mirab Yehuda Ben Beseira. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was present. And Amar Lei, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira turns to this Talmud, and he says to Bni, my son, Psach Picha V'Yairu Dvarecha. You don't have to read a Begimgum. Now the reason why this Talmud apparently was reading Begimgum, he was reading it very quickly, you know, like mumbling it along, is because he was worried about the Takanas Ezra. And he himself was a Balkeri. So he thought that he could obviate the violation of the Takanas Ezra by being Korei Begimgum. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira responded to him that Ein Divrei Torah Mekablim Tuma, that even though you are a Tameh and you are a Balkeri, you don't have to worry about Divrei Torah. Shenemar, and he invokes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Halo ko dvarai dvari ko eish niyum Hashem. And this pasuk compares Divrei Torah to Eish. Ma Eish Einu Mekabel Tuma Af Divrei Torah Einu Mekabel Tuma. Now again, Ezra himself knew that Ein Divrei Torah Mekabel Tuma. Nevertheless, he made this takana that a Balkeri should not be Osek B'Torah, because Divrei Torah require a special higher level of Kiddushin and Tara, because the Torah was given Bereses U'Bezeah with all this awe and fear, or in order that Talmidei Chacham should not always be with their wives, you know, Kitar de Golem. Again, this is all different interpretations of Takanas Ezra. But in any event, bottom line, what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira gain by quoting this drasha to teach us that a Balkeri is mutter to be Osek Mitorah? At the end of the day, we have the Gzera of Ezra. Again, if he wants to say, as we said so before in Tosis, that the Gzera, the Takon of Ezra, doesn't apply anymore, okay, that he can make a point, but he doesn't derive that from a pasuk. So the only way of understanding this, and the Achronim say the following, that what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira had in mind is that since Divrei Torah are not Mekabel Tuma, therefore, Ein Bekoach HaTamim HaElu, all the explanations, the motivations of Ezra, don't have the power to be Gozer, a gzera of tvila, which would in effect be mevatel klal Yisrael or members of klal Yisrael from Torah and tvila. the Torah says that you're allowed to learn Torah, and it's like Eish, it's not Makabel Tumah, and even though you're a Baal Keri, but you're going to tell me, Ezra, that now we have to institute a requirement of Tevila to be Matir himself from Keri, and until that time he's not allowed to engage in Torah study. How could you undermine the study of Torah? And again, you know, the Beis Yosef writes in Archaim Simon Peches that this drasha is only nasmachta because Ezra knew this drasha. He knew very well that Ein Divrei Torah Makabelim Tumah. Nevertheless, he made a gzera on the Baal Keri in order to jack up the level of Tara and Kedusha before we study Torah. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira didn't accept this. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is not Golem Mimena B'Chachmim Minyan. How could he undermine the Takon of Ezra? So the answer was that he denied that Ezra ever made that takana, or if Ezra made the takana, he only built in a certain limitation that Eddie Bezdin should be able to be mevatel it. Let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara now goes back to the original brisa that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was matir Esa Kator even for Baal Keri, and the various Tanoim would allow Limud Torah to a limited extent. In other words, even though they accepted the Takon of Ezra, nevertheless, like for example, we have Rabbi Yonah's son Ben Yosef, and he said that you're allowed to study Mishnah and interpret the Mishnah. That was permitted, and Ezra never prohibited that even for Baal Keri. Well, for example, we have other shittas in Tanoim that limit and restrict the scope of the Iser of Baal Keri to study Torah. So Omar Mar, we learned before that Rabbi Yonah's son, that a Baal Keri is Matzias HaMishnah, he's allowed to go into detail and delve into the reasons that underlie the Mishnah of the Einu Matzias HaGemara, but he can't go into Gemara because Tamei HaGemara is a lot more profound, and for that you need a special Kiddush and a special Tara. Messiah Leila Rabbi Ilah. This is going to prove Rav Eloi. What is it? Diomar Rav Eloi, Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mishum Rabbeinu. All this is in the name of Rebbe. I shouldn't say Rebbe, I should say Rav. Halacha Matzias HaMishnah V'yena Matzias Es HaGemara. So we can see from this brisa that Rav Yonah's son would allow the study of Mishnah even for Baal Keri, and now that would support Rabbi Eloi, who says that we have a tradition that dates back to Rav, that La Locha where a Baal Keri is allowed to be involved in the study of Mishnah, as long as he's not involved in the study of Gemara. Kitanoi, the Gemara now brings a machlokas Tanoi with regard to this statement of Rav Eloi. Because we learned in a brisa that a Baal Keri is Matzias HaMishnah Veinu Matzias HaGemara Divrei Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Zeh V'Zeh Asur. In other words, a Baal Keri is not only enjoined from studying Gemara, he's also enjoined from studying Mishnah, even though Mishnah doesn't require that much of delving into depth, you know, with Amkus Havana, but nevertheless that's also considered Torah, which needs a special Kiddush and a Tara of Tefillah B'Mikvah. V'Amrile, and others say in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Ben Gamliel, Zeb Zeb Mutter, just the opposite, that a Baal Keri is allowed to study even Gemara. And in Gemara, as you and I know, we delve into the drushas and we go back to the Psukim, and we try to understand how to derive halachas from Psukim, and all that, according to the second version of Rabbi Chanina Ben Gamliel, is Mutter. So we see again that we have different Tanoim and different shitas about what you're allowed to learn and what you're not allowed to learn if you're a Baal Keri within the context of Takanas Ezra. So the Gemara explains, Man di Omar Zevzeh Asur Kir Rabbi Yochanan ben Asandler. We had a brisa earlier that Rabbi Yochanan ben Asandler holds Lo Yikonis LeMedrash Kol Iker. He's not even allowed to begin to study, or he's not even allowed into the base medrash. We're afraid he'll start studying. So it's an absolute all-inclusive Iser of Talmud Torah with regard to a Baal Keri before he goes to the mikvah. So that if we have a Mandiyomer, which we saw here in one girsa in Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, that zeh is osur, everything is osur. That reflects the shita of Rabbi Yochanan Hasan. Uman di omer zeh bezeh mutar. That reflects the shita of Yehuda ben Becerra, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, as we discussed, the great Lent, never accepted the Easter, at least in his time. You know, it could be that Ezra at some period of time did make this Zera, but that was never accepted, or if it was accepted, it could be overridden by a later Bezdin. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra came to the conclusion that a Valkyrie is allowed to study Torah, and therefore Zev is Zev Mutter. It's Mutter to study straight across the board everything. A Valkyrie before Tevila could study Mishnah, you can study Gemara. Now the Gemara talks about the minhag. What exactly was the minhag as far as the Valkyrie is concerned? What is he allowed to study? Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Nohug Almo Kahani Tanoi Save. The Velt is Noeg to be Mekil, like those three Tanoim who were mentioned earlier, who would allow a Valkyrie to study Torah. That's why today we don't have this Isur. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is now going to mention three halachos where the minhag is to be mekil like these three zakenim. And the first one is Kirabi Loi Bereshis Hagez Bechutz Laretz. Okay, we'll have to learn a little bit about Reshis Hagez. Reshis Hagez is also in Eretz Yisrael, but is Mutter in Chutz Laretz. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. Number two, Kirabi Yoshia Bikalayim. We have a kula of Rav Yoshia and Kalayim, we'll talk about that. And Kirabi Yudavim Beseira Bidirei Torah. So the minhag was to accept and rely upon Rav Yudavim Beseira that a Valkyrie is allowed to study Torah, and he's allowed to study all of the Torah. So let's go through these three dinim that were upgepasked by the minhag. We accepted the minhag of these three tanoim with regard to those three dinim. Number one, we are knowing Rabbi Loi b'Reishis Hagez. The Sanya, we have a Brisa, Rabbi Loi Omer Reishis Hagez Einu Noeg Ela Ba'aretz, that the entire mitzvah of Reishis Hagez is limited to Eretz Yisrael. So what is the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez? A person has to give the Kohen some minimum amount of the wool that he shears off his sheep. Every time he does a Gziza and shears off his sheep, he has to let designate some of it for the Kohen, and that's called Reishis Hagez. And Reishis Hagez is a mitzvah d'oraisa that appears in Parshas Re'eh in Sefer Dvarim, Reishis Hagez. And now the question is whether that applies even in Chutz Laretz. And that's Machlokas Tanoim. We're going to accept right now, Al Pi Minhag Rabbi Eloi, that there's no Reishis Hagez in Chutz Laretz. We're going to accept Rabbi Yoshia as far as Kilayim is concerned, Kinexiv. It says in the Pasuk in Kitetze, it says, Lo Sizra Karmacha Kilayim. Rav Yoshia Omer Liolameinu Chayav. He doesn't violate the law of Klaya Kerem Achi Yizra Chita Usiora Vecharzon Bimapolis Yad. In other words, the Iser of Klaya Kerem is only when he places into the in close proximity to the Kerem a chita, some sort of a stalk of wheat or barley. Well, Chartzon means, Chartzon is when you have a grape, the pits of the grape are called Chartzon. And that's from the parasha of Nozir. And what's with Mapolis Yad? He has to put them all together at one time. He has to take these various Zroim and place them into the ground simultaneously. So this is a Machlokes. Exactly what he means is Rav Yoshia saying that you could be Zorea to Minim and there's no Iser as long as he doesn't do it b'mapolis yad. He doesn't take these two seeds and place them in one, you know, one hand action. Or is it possible that Rav Yoshia is only talking about Malkus, that until you have mapolis yad you didn't violate the full-fledged Iser of Kelaya Kerem, and therefore you're exempt from Malkus? Now, just to say a few quick words about Kloya Kerem, the Torah says in Parshas Ki Teitzei, Lo Tizra Karmacha Kilayim. Now, most of the Tanoim assume that if you have a zriya of zera echad, one zera, and you put it in close proximity to the kerem, and that zera is a mindagan or minyerek, you violate the iser. Rav Yoshia says no. The iser is only zriyas shnei minim v'kerem. That's the way he interprets the pasuk, lo tizra kalmercha kilayim, that you're putting kilayim into the karka, and that's a zriya of kilayim. So you have to have two minim that you was zorea. And it means, I'll just read to you Tosus in Masechta Kiddushin. He says on Rav Yoshia, Shehu mefarish es haposik she'osel izro v'kerem dover she'vishas hazriya hu kvar kilayim dehainu she'zorea v'kerem shnei mini zroim she'em kilayim. Unbelievable. He's got already two minim which would be kilayim, and he's zorea this kilayim in the kerem. And the midig was to accept Rav Yoshia. But now the most important part of Asugya is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and we accept Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the Sanya, as we learned earlier, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer Ein Divrei Torah Mekablam Tuma, and a Balkari is allowed to study Torah even without Tefillah, and therefore we're not going to delay and postpone our Iser, our Limud B'Divrei Torah because of the Takon of Ezra. The Gemara brings one more opinion now, to express the fact that the original takon of Ezra, that a Balkari needs tefillah in order to study Torah, is no longer in vogue. It's no longer operative. Ki asa, when Zairi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, but lua l'tefillah sah, the Chacham mevatel this chiyuv tefillah that was originally enacted by Ezra. And again, we're going to assume that there was a tanai that Ezra placed into this original gzera, that if the people will not accept the gzera, any bezdin can come along and decide that the gzera is betela. The Amrile, others say, batlua linitilusa, that there's a takana that before you daven you need netilas yadayim, and they were mevatel that requirement. Mandiom batlul to be losa, which mandiom reflects the shita that they did away with the requirement of tvila for balkeri in order to study Torah, and that is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So Zairi is standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who says that balkeri is allowed to study Torah without tvila. Mandiom batlul to losa. Rabbi Zairi is standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Chizda. And Rabbi Chizda was very harsh about someone. I mean, literally, the word "liat" means lekalel. For someone who's going to run around looking for water to wash his hands before tefillah, because as a result, he may miss Zman tefillah till he finds water. It's not like today, you know, you just open up the faucet. But then it was a whole to-do to find water. So this requirement of the tefillah before tefillah, before davening, which might in effect cause him to miss Zman tefillah, this was completely removed. And as soon as he's reached the Zman tefillah, he should daven and he shouldn't postpone his tefillah in order to look for water. So to give a little bit of background here to what this is all about, I'll quote to you the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Siman Dalet. Chachamim tiknu netilas yadayim kodem kriya shma utfilah. And Rav Chizda holds that if he doesn't have water and it's time for kriya shma, or it's time for tefillah, then he should be menake yadav bi'afar. He should clean his hands by using some stones or some dirt or anything that's menake, any cleansing agent. And he shouldn't run around looking for tefillah, for mayim, for netilah. Now, many rishonim are of the opinion that what we're learning here of bittul tefillah is only for kriyat shma. Again, the language is be'idah ditzlosa, but nevertheless, the rishonim assume that since tefillah is kol hayom, that he should be required, even according to Rav Chizda, to run around looking for mayim. Rav Chizda says, be'idon tzluso, which means at the time for davening. So Rav Yonah says that we don't have that girsa in our Gemara. There are other Rishonim though who say that even in Tefillos it has a more extensive zman than Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema is only, let's say, the first 3 hours of the day, whereas Tefillah goes even for the fourth hour of the day. But nevertheless, we still don't want to run around looking for mayim. But obviously, everybody agrees that if all things are equal and he can get access to mayim, that's what he has to do. Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in a Brayso about Keri, shenasna olav tisha kabin mayim tahor. A Valkeri who needs to be mitar himself from Tumas Keri. And now we're going back to the Takon of Ezra. So what kind of tahara does he need? What is the process? All he needs is Tisha Kabim. And Tisha Kabim is a shear of Mayim that could cover his entire body. And all he has to do is pour it over his head, and that's enough to be considered tvila. Now, would that be enough to be considered tvila even for Tumah Doraisa, or is it just to remove this Iser of Ezra that you need a special tahara for studying Torah? That's going to be an issue. There's going to be another issue about Tisha Kabin between the Prima Gadim and other Achron. And the Prima Gadim writes that he has to make sure that with this Tisha Kabin, Yavo Mayim Bechal Gufo, that the water will definitely come in contact and cover every part of his body. The Matefrayim, on the other hand, and other Achronim disagree with the Prima Gadim. They write that it's enough that he pours the water on top of his body, and he doesn't have to be makvid to make sure that every part of his body is covered by water. And again,
is it any water? I mean, or does it have to be like a mikveh? There are restrictions on the water in the mikveh.
I think it has to be the same water that he would use for tefillah. But we're going to be makil as far as takonis Ezra for tefillah's Torah. If you follow what I mean, that this kind of a tefillah would be enough. I'll just read to you one line, and then the floor is yours. Nesinas teisha kavin mo'ila rak le'inyan sheyuchal lasok b'Torah. So as far as, even according to the Prima Gadim, who says that the water is going to cover every part of his body, that's not enough to be metaira from Tumas Keri. He needs to dip himself into the mikvah, and at one split second in time, his entire body is submerged in the mikvah. However, as far as the takon of Tosefes Kedusha Vitara that Ezra was misaki to imate Torah, for that they were makil and they relied on what's called Tisha Kam.
Once you put it in a dli, once you put the water in a container, it's no longer good for mikvah.
So right, it's like Mayim She'uv.
Right, so it's not a... Right. And this Tisha Kam, is that for a regular tahar? That's used for a tahar of a mes, right? It's used...
So that we have to learn the lachas of mes, you know, whether that's enough. In other words, he took this din and he wanted to keep it quiet. Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva lechasha, he wanted to keep it quiet. Ben Azai, Ben Azai yotza v'shona l'talmid v'shuk. But Ben Azai took this halacha and he publicized it, and he felt that we could rely on this halacha. The Gemara now is going to bring a machlokas samuraim. How exactly was Ben Azai Moser? How did he transmit this din to his Talmidim? Pligibat Trey Amoroi B'Marova. Sulamat Lokas Amoroi in Eretz Yisrael. How is it that Ben Azai would teach his Talmidim this din? And Rashi, Dibra Maschel Chad, is going to interpret that there's going to be a machlokas. How is it that Ben Azai would publicize this din? Lo ketzad om Rabbi Akiva din zeh. We're not exactly analyzing the way that Rabbi Akiva formulated this din. We know that Rabbi Akiva was very quiet about this din, and he only transmitted it b'tzina, because according to Rabbi Akiva, this allowance for Tisha Kavim is only for someone who is called Ra Kari Leonso. In other words, he had a nocturnal emission or some sort of emission. But as far as someone who is Meshamish Mitaso, Rabbi Akiva felt that we should not publicize this heter, that all you need is Tesha Kavim, which basically means just take a shower. Because Rabbi Akiva felt that really taking a shower is not sufficient for someone who had Tashmish HaMita. And again, this goes back to the original question of why Ezra required tevilah for Balkeri, whether it's because he didn't want people to have too many relations with their wives, you know, too frequently, or it was because he thought that somebody who had an omission is somewhat guilty of having the wrong thoughts, and therefore he's not ready for that tara of limud Torah. But in any event, Ben Azai was dorish this cool of a rabbim, and he wasn't afraid that people would get the wrong impression. And mishum shaloi amakom lachshod bo shaover kein lanos atzu shod tzorich tvi litvol b'mikvah kshaya hu balkeri shari lohaya nosli afil lefish nafshol chosk b'tor. So again, the reason why Ben Azai felt that he could publicize this kula is because no one would accuse him of being mekil, so that they could easily facilitate having too many relations on a regular basis with their wives and just jumping into the shower, because Ben Azai was not married, so he didn't have relations with his wife. He was nafshel choshke b'torah. Pligi batrei amoroi b'marav, Rav Yossi bar Oven, Rav Yossi bar Zvida, chad tonish na'a. According to one, he taught this halacha to his talmidim barabim, chad toni lechosha. There was another girsa that even Ben Azai would only whisper this halacha, and he would not publicize it, because again, there was always a fear that if he publicizes, people might misuse it and always rely on these showers of Tisha Kabin, even when they had a relationship with their wife. According to the Man Yoru, says that Ben Azai had no problem, he was not inhibited. He would teach this halacha barab of Tisha Kabin Mishum Bitul Torah. He wanted to make sure that people would get to the base medrash and study Torah. He wanted to make it as easy as possible for a person to come into the base medrash and sit and learn. Because if he's going to have to run around looking for a mikvah, then he's going to delay his Talmud Torah. That's number one. Number two, Mishum Bitul Piriv Arivya. He didn't want people to be inhibited about having relations with their wives, because of the headache of requiring, you know, imagine the yeshiva bacha, you know, he knows that he if he has a relationship with his wife, he's going to have to go to mikveh before he goes to the base medrash. Now that's a big hassle for him. So we want to find every possible leniency, and therefore we're going to allow Tisha Kabin. And therefore, according to this Man D'Yomer, Ben Azai had no inhibition about publicizing this kula. According to that girsa, that even Ben Azai was inhibited, and he wanted only pass this on Bitsina. And he answers, he was very makpid on the Takonis Ezra. He's much later than Ezra, but just like Ezra was worried about people being, you know, very attached to their wives in a constant intimate relationship, so in order to institute Kiddusha, they required that a Balkeri be Tovel in a mikvah of Arbaim Sa'a, and that should inhibit them from having too many relations with their wives. And even though it's a Torah, it really requires a lot of effort to make sure that you can find a mikvah of Arbaim Sa'a, but nevertheless, that was necessary to accomplish the goal of this takana. So any kula which would allow you to obviate and circumvent this requirement of tefillah in a mikvah would not be recommended. You know, that would sort of undermine the whole purpose of this takana, and therefore let's keep this quiet. Now, one question I want to ask you, which again requires a lot more study, is mimanavshach. If this leniency of Teisha Kavim in a sense undermines the whole purpose of Takana, so why does this leniency get accepted? I mean, again, it wasn't publicized, but it was passed on, transmitted Bitzina. So we have to assume that those people who passed it on, they knew to whom they could pass it on. They would only pass it on to those who were not Matziyat, so they weren't Choshen. But again, it's a kind of of an issue of low plug, so that here the Chachamim said, let's make a difference between Tzina and Farhesia. That which is a leniency, we keep it quiet. And those who study tshuva literature, like for example, if any of you are familiar with Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, but there are many others who are very into tshuva literature, you'll find in many tshuvas that the Chachamim will paskin in a meshiv and in post psak that, you know what, let's not publicize this, let's keep it quiet. Like it's like halacha ve'morin came, because they're always afraid that people who misunderstand the kula, right? We have a principle called kocht et teira adif. I mean, we're always looking to be makil whenever we can. I mean, it's no kunz if you all these new svarim that are full of chumras, you know, they publish that. That's no big deal. I don't like those books, honestly. You know, I was taught to learn a sugya and halacha, and you come up with a kula, you come up with a kula. But sometimes the poskim are very wary about publicizing a kula, because they know if it gets into the wrong hands, it can be misunderstood and misused.
But with this Takana, there was a minority opinion. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becerra says it doesn't apply.
Right, this whole discussion.
But that's become completely accepted.
Correct. This whole discussion that we have here is according to those Tanoim that the original Takana of Ezra is still binding today. And despite that, we're going to allow a Balkeri to be Nosein Olav Tisha Kabin B'mayim. Now the Gemara continues to delve into the Tevila of a Balkeri Omer Rabbi Yanai Shamati Shemekilim Ba. I heard that the people who are Mekil and the Matir Esek Torah simply by going into a bathhouse or simply by putting Tisha Kavin on their goof, Vishamati Shemachmirim Ba, there are those who are very strict about this and they don't want to allow Esek HaTorah until you go into a mikvah, full-fledged mikvah of Harboim Sov. So Rav Yane was very excited about those who are machmir in this case. Again, it's because of this Tosefis Kedusha that the Torah should be given b'emo b'ira u'beresis u'bezeya like it was given in our Sinai. And in order to achieve that goal, we want to get into a mikvah. A mikvah has a koach hatara that uplifts and sanctifies a person for the limud Torah. So again, if you ask me, Eric, halach l'maisa, I'll be making, but you should know that in the Gemara itself, it seems like there were plenty of Tanoim who would be in favor of going to mikvah. Again, I can't tell you. I know there's a fellow who davens next to me every morning right here in this building, and he goes to mikvah every morning. Chassidim are more makbid about this. But, you know, the Litvak has somehow let it go. In any event, the Gemara now brings another opinion that you don't have to be machmir and look for a mikvah, because again, they're worried about bittul Talmud Torah and bittul Piriv. Yomer Rabbi Yeshua and Levi Mativon Shel Tov Leishacharin. What is the reason why there are people who are very machmir to be tovel every morning because of Keri? So the Gemara doesn't understand what kind of question is this. My Tivon Ha'iudi Amar, he himself, this was a Gemara that we learned back on Daf Chaf Aleph from in Beis, that Rabbi Shuv and Belevi held that Balkeri is also the Divrei Torah. So if you're telling me that that there are people who are Tovel every morning for their Keri, and now Rabbi Shuv and Levi asks them, my Tivo, what's it all about? What do you mean? You yourself advocated that we accepted the halacha of Takonis as in a Balkeri is also the Divrei Torah. This is what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was asking. Ma tivon barboim saw. Why did they have to go so far? Again, we can fulfill Takana says without having to be toreach to look for a mikvah of barboim saw. Efsher b'tisha kavid. That's enough because again, Ben Azay publicized according to that version this heter of tisha kavid. Let's rely on this heter. Ma tivon b'tvila efsher b'nesina. You know, why do we require tevila that you have to dip yourself into the mikvah, which would be a requirement for taras, tumas, keri, but efshe v'nesina, all you have to do is pour the water on top of your head. Now the Gemara brings an opinion that it's kedai, it's worthwhile to be machmir and go to the mikvah, which has our boy Somer of Kanina. Gader gadol gadruba, this takana that a balkeri requires jumping into a mikvah is a great takana. This sanya we learned in a brisa ma'isa b'yechad shetova isha l'dvara vera. I guess she was a nida and he wanted to have relations with her. Or Rashi interprets that she was an unmarried woman and he wanted to have relations with an unmarried woman. And Chazal said, you're not allowed to even be alone in a private place with an unmarried woman. And that's an isha yichud because he might come to have a relationship with her.
How can one have relations with... I thought relations with Nida was Karis.
Correct. So let's go with Rashi right now, that we're talking about a case of a person who would have a relationship with a Pnuya. That's not an Issa Kares. That's an Issa Lav of Kedesha, according to the Rambam. If it's
there, if it's news. Earlier on this stop, or at the end of the last stop, it mentions in the Mishnah some about a woman having, or a man having quite relations with Nidaz, needing to immerse themselves before learning. But why would that be?
That would be a case where they had relations before she saw Dam Nida.
Okay.
Only if before she saw Dam Nida. So again, he's in a very strange situation. His Yetzer Hara is getting the best of him. He's trying to get this woman to agree to have an illegal relationship. And guess what she pulls out? She says to him, Amr lo, Reka, you're an empty person. Yesh l'char bo'em sosh at the tovel b'em? First, let's see if you can jump into the mikvah. Miad pirish. So he didn't do the avera. So we see that sometimes you can scare off a person by asking him whether or not he went into the mikvah. And if you take a look in the Mefarshim, they say the following. Let me just find the place here. Oh. He says the following. Tova isha pnuya, chachamim gazu, etc., etc. And we have this fear on the part of the chachamim that a person might have a relationship with a pnuya. And again, it's called a dvar avera because, as we said before, there would be an issur to have a relationship with a pnuya. And when she said to him, Reka, yesh lecha arbaim sosh atatova behen, mitochen she machmas hayichud boli dehiru. In other words, he had locked the door in the private place with this woman, and he was trying to seduce her. And she said to him, wait a minute, you're a balkeri. Now, why are you a balkeri? They didn't have relations. But the answer is that because he had a hirur, he was already excited, then perhaps he already had some sort of ambition, and therefore he needs tefillah. And the fact that she said to him that you have to be tovel, that somehow scared him off. Now, he was tovel hafiznus, that's what the Gemara seems to indicate, but lo hoisim izumenes liznos der hefke, right? She didn't want to have relations with her, because if she would have relations with him, Derek Hefker, without Kedushin, then it could be that that's a violation of Issa D'oraisa. So again, you have to know a little bit more about the Gemara at the end of Kedushin for that. Fine. So Piresh, Miad Piresh. Now the Gemara brings another opinion, that you don't have to be tovel in a mikvah. Amalahu Rav Huna l'Rabbanan. Rav Huna said to his Talmidim, Rabosai, Mipnei Mata Mizalzel v'Tfilah Zu. In other words, why is it that you don't implement this takani? Not careful about going to the mikvah even in the state of a balkeri, you rely on Rav Yudim ben Sera, who holds that a balkeri doesn't need tefillah. Imishum tsina. It's because tefillah b'mikvah is very difficult for you because it's so cold, the water is very cold. They went out to a natural body of water. Efshe b'marchitzos. We have mikvahs that are inside the house, inside the building, and it's not so cold. Amalei Rav Chizda says to Rav Huna, right, this was the story of Rav Huna, okay, so this is a long discussion here, which we'll leave in Mirtz Hashem for another time. What does it mean when he asks v'chiyesh tvila bechamin? So Rav Huna responds to Rav Chizda, Rav Adbarava kari kavasech. He holds like you that a balkeri needs a kosher mikvah. And this merchitzos bechamin is not a kosher mikvah, but I don't agree with that. I hold that any sort of a tevila is meaningful, is acceptable, because again, we're not talking about removing tumas keri. We're only talking about this extra kedusha, and therefore, Rav Huna says to Rav Chizda, "I'm going to rely on Rav Ada Bar Ava because." Excuse me, I'm not going to agree with Rav Ada Bar Ava because I hold that we have to find every leniency in the book in order to allow this Balkeri to study Torah. and even if it means that we're going to bend the law and allow for tefillah b'chamin. So we'll have to talk about a little bit about tefillah b'chamin. So let's just see where we got up to here. We're about five lines up before the end of the oven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that's where Mitzvah Shem, we'll have to pick it up next time. Wish everyone a great day.